Welcome to Talk World Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. This week on Talk World Radio, we are talking about the Revolving Door Project with Assistant Director Andrea Beatty. The Revolving Door Project tracks corporate influence in politics with a focus on the executive branch. Its website is therevolvingdoorproject.org. Andrea Beatty, welcome to Talk World Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Corporate influence. I could be wrong. I get the impression it's increasing. What do you think?
Yeah. So Revolving Door Project was founded to track corporate influence in politics. And yeah, since the beginning of the Trump administration, the second Trump administration this year, we've had a lot of work to do in that regard. There hasn't been a more blatant incursion of corporate interests into the private sector than what's happening under the Trump administration, led by DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, the department led by Elon Musk, third richest man in the world. And that has, his actions and the Trump administration's actions have led us to need to track the many actions that they're taking across the executive branch, just wreaking havoc across the government in general, and to the detriment of everyday Americans. No matter how much you rely on the government, you might think you rely or not rely, it's affecting everyone's lives.
Did you say third richest man in the world?
I believe so.
Or the first two, I'm just...
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but let's see.
Okay. Well, hopefully he thinks he's the first, as I thought, and we will enrage him with that comment, and the results will be something good for the government. My impression also is that corporate influence is not just increasing, but the influence of people like him, of multi-billionaires, of essentially oligarchs, is increasing dramatically. Is that what you're seeing as well?
In terms of like their influence on the government?
Yeah.
I think, it's unprecedented what the Trump administration is allowing to happen. This is a privatization of the government by people who, people who are involved in government decisions, are they're not even bothering to give up their posts at private sector corporations while they're doing this work. Maybe they're taking leaves of absence, but they're, going flagrantly flying in the face of ethics requirements that have, not always been as stringent as they should be in protecting public interest, but even so, we don't know. There's tons of special government employees entering the government through DOGE, and we know nothing about their conflicts of interest, nothing about their financial ties. Everything that we know is reported through the media, not because the government, the Trump administration, has revealed anything about these people. And many of them are coming into the Trump administration with ties to not only Elon Musk's companies, but also companies that are also tied to prominent Trump supporters, Peter Thiel's Palantir. That's one of the many, the companies that you'll see in the resume of many of DOGE folks, Andreessen Horowitz tied tech companies as well, also very prominent in the DOGE resumes. And these are people who are going into government agencies of which they know nothing, don't understand the mission, and are simply following the directions of Elon Musk in, the name of so-called efficiency. I think it's a total, the destruction of, leading to the destruction of many important agencies.
So what are some examples of those agencies? What is some of the damage that's been done or is being threatened? You have an op-ed on the website, therevolvingdoorproject.org, that says DOGE is going to kill a lot of Americans.
I think that probably one of the most, I've been reading a lot about what's going on with at HHS, Health and Human Services, the CDC, NIH. They're in mass terminating workers who are protecting our Americans from threats, like very real threats, like the current measles outbreak, the bird flu outbreak. These are the types of things that government is in place to mitigate disasters. And now none of those people whose job it is to mitigate those disasters are there anymore. That is going to lead to a direct impact on the health of Americans, potentially death, if not already have led to death. So, and I think to, obviously HHS, health services, public health is being very directly impacted. There's also places like the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, where the DOGE has dismantled the agency, which was once a watchdog of financial sector companies, and now there is no one to keep some of these companies from pursuing predatory actions, predatory business practices, instead of being a watchdog, instead of being a protector for the American people. Now the CFPB is reversing all of its decisions that were meant to protect people under the direction of its Trump administration appointees.
So you have a number of trackers on the website tracking different agencies, different sectors of DOGE damage, basically. What are some of the others?
The
One is one.
DOGE has been present. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say one of them is aviation safety. Is it less safe to get on an airplane now?
I don't think that it's helping that the aviation safety agencies have become a target for these mass layoffs, mass illegal layoffs, I should say. And I, live in the DC area. Very early into the Trump administration, there was a significant crash, and it doesn't feel like the Trump administration is doing what it needs to do to actually, again, mitigate risk. It feels like they're leaning into making things worse. I certainly, as like a local resident of DC, don't feel like safer than I was before this all started. But I think, the fact that they're attacking employees, federal, civil servants who were in place to keep people safe, and now those folks are under extreme stress if they're still there, or being terminated, our safety is at risk.
There's actually quite a list of, I guess, more minor crashes on the website there, but I don't know what that list was last year. I don't know how to compare it, if it's longer than it was pre-Doge.
I think that we need to. It's clear that not only in aviation safety, but the effects of this dismantling of the government is going to affect us everywhere. And I hope that there's no larger disaster that happens. But it's good to be keeping track to make sure that to compare those things to what was happening before.
They've not only gotten rid of regulators of Wall Street, right, but also of people at the IRS who try to get the richest of the richest to pay their taxes, right? Which seems like the opposite of government efficiency. If you're like, we don't need this money. Go ahead and keep it.
I think agencies like the IRS, also the CFPB, kind of pay for themselves in the way that they go after companies and sometimes individual Americans who aren't either adhering to the who aren't adhering to the law and then have financial penalties to pay for not doing that. If we aren't enforcing the laws against, if we aren't enforcing the fact that people need to pay their taxes properly, yeah, the rich are the ones who benefit the most from that. Also because the IRS has, yeah, just in terms of the Trump administration has specifically gone after the parts of the IRS that are enforcing tax investigations into the richest Americans, and they're the ones who are seeing the benefit of not having to adhere to those laws as closely, I suppose.
Yeah, we're speaking, by the way, with Andrea Beattie from the Revolving Door Project. You can go to the revolvingdoorproject.org. Doge claims, I think, to be saving the US government tons and tons of money. Of course, in not taxing billionaires, they aren't doing that. But do you know what the reality is versus some of their own claims of success?
Yeah, this isn't one of the things that we're tracking, but there have been some really useful tools talking about, yeah, what is the reality of these, the so-called efficiency that Doge is carrying out. I think it's really clear that, first of all, if you're just canceling contracts is not saving anyone money. Like, if these are things that were already appropriated, this is, actions that, for example, the Congress has approved of, and how it's not efficient to go back on the government's word of what they said they were going to carry out. So I think it's just completely misplaced in its definition of efficiency. I don't agree with their entire definition of what they think efficiency is. Taking removing civil servants who have been building up their knowledge on how to serve the American public, and not even, not replacing them, just getting rid of them entirely. It's doing untold damage that it's going to be very difficult to rebuild.
And not just inefficient, but illegal and unconstitutional,
Yeah,
right? The
absolutely.
reason we started out talking about the so-called executive branch, right? It's supposed to execute what Congress told it to do, right?
Yeah. And it's instead of the public interest, it's in the it, w what is happening is that it's a privatization of the government led by people who have these corporate ties. Who do they really speak for? Who do they really represent? It's not the American public. That's not who they're helping through their actions.
Clearly not. I don't know how you're managing to keep up with all the damage being done. I know you have a weekly corruption calendar newsletter. Do you want to tell people about that?
Yeah, I think so. There's a deluge of information. There is so much it's hard to keep up. Even for someone like me, I spend a lot of my time reading news articles just trying to keep up with what's happening. It's very difficult. It's a full-time job. So I think one of the things that we wanted to do is we can't tell you every story of corruption that's happening on the Trump administration. I think, we're not seeking to find every single story, but at the least, what we're doing every week is presenting people a list of stories that have caught our eye about the ways that the Trump administration is self-enriching itself through decisions of the through government action, and the way kind of tying the overall threads together. Like, I think one of the things that people have observed is some of the early targets of Doge were agencies with which Elon Musk had a specific bone to pick. Those kinds of stories where it's like, it's one thing that, a particular agency now has Doge arriving at it, then we can go back and look why is it there, and kind of bringing those ties together about the type of enforcement, most of the time, pretty much enforcement against corporations that has made these various agencies targets of the Trump administration. It's smaller things as well. Like we had an item a couple of weeks ago on the Federal Housing Finance Agency, which is an agency that probably most Americans don't think about that often. But recently, the new Trump a director there appointed a Trump donor to the board of Fannie Mae using his authority as FHFA director. And that's the type of thing to pay attention to. Where are these donors? When we look at the Trump administration, it's this, back and forth. It's this, I'll do you a favor, you do me a favor. What are the donors getting out of the Trump administration? And here's an example of something that might not catch the eye of like the larger media, maybe with reason, but it's still important to be keeping track of these examples of potential corruption.
Yeah, indeed. And in terms of the name revolving door, what jobs are all these people going to get when they get done destroying stuff?
Well, they'll have comfortable perches to go back to. I think that's the,
I assume
their
so.
protection.
I don't know if you looked at the case of USAID getting slashed, but it was interesting to me because so many people who care about poverty and starvation were very upset. And so many peace activists who I work with were thrilled because, how are they going to do coups in foreign countries now without USAID? And it seemed to me that both things were true. Like there are agencies that do a lot of good and a lot of harm. Are you able to address any of the complexity of cases like that? Or do you agree with anything I'm saying?
I think we've never had the position that things were perfect under the Biden administration. I helped publish a report with the Revolving Door Project about ethics under the not just the Biden administration, and administration before it, Democrat and Republican, about how things ethics rules need to be better, not only legislation but enforcement. We talked through a number of means in which, ethics regimes in under any administration could be better. They're not, Democrats aren't faultless in that. The erosion of conflicts of interest of ethics laws has taken place under both types of administration, both parties, and I. There were things to change. We had suggestions for what could be done differently that needed to be done differently if we were going to take seriously the job of protecting, government's job of protecting public interest. So there was this whole idea that like at the very beginning of the Trump administration, there were some people who seemed to be flirting with Elon Musk's definition of efficiency. I think that was wrong from the outset. It was only ever there to cause destruction. We need to stand up against that destruction, but that doesn't mean that we should be blind to the reality that things were not perfect beforehand and that there we needed reform, we needed change on a lot of different fronts before Trump even got into power. And that maybe our lack of paying attention, our lack of change, helped pave the way for Trump to, make all of these sweeping changes under the idea of making things better for Americans. So.
It seems to me if these people were really serious about efficiency, they would look at solutions to efficiency, including that come more from the left than the right. I mean, single payer health coverage is far more efficient than private insurance companies. If you wanted to to do things efficiently, now I've forgotten. The example I wanted to suggest, that in a lot of these programs that they're slashing, universal coverage would make them efficient, and all the means testing and all the who qualifies and who doesn't qualify for this program makes them very inefficient. But instead of making them universal, they just want to cut them back, right?
Yeah.
And
And I don't, yeah, that's not the solution. We've had, we've had an ongoing discussion at RDP. You can go back and look at our posts about, we talk about capacity of government agencies a lot. There's so many ways in which our government hasn't been doing the right thing, but it's not because we need to lean away from their directives, from their missions. It's because there's been this slow erosion of what, the principles of, like what, the CFPB should have always been doing more. And now it's just made itself, now it's become a direct target for corporate interests. Like every time there's real action, there seems to be this reaction from the right, from corporations that are seeking to dismantle any power that might have been built.
Indeed. The other concern I have with all of this talk about their cuts and sell-offs and drawdowns and cutbacks, all of which I think is true and important, is that everybody hears about it and they think the government is being shrunk. They think the government is being cut back on important things and spending less money. And yet, a huge chunk of the money is simply being moved to the Pentagon, which seems to me to be a result of corporate influence as well, blatantly the result of corporate influence. And it seems like it matters that every good liberal in the country thinks the government is shrinking and that stuff is being cut, when a growing majority of your income tax dollar is going to go to war preparations. Are you guys talking about that at all?
Yeah, I mean, so, Hegseth, DOD, he is one of the people, I guess the entire Trump cabinet supposedly is like on board with Elon Musk's efficiency stuff. And yet Hegseth prompt, just a couple weeks ago, I believe, said that he wanted to propose a $1 trillion defense budget, which is record breaking. And yeah, when we talk about capacity at RDP, we know that the other side of that equation is that money that's flowing away from agencies that actually help people, help everyday Americans. That money flows towards defense agencies and contractors, military contractors. Yeah, the unequal, completely unequal treatment of between services that actually help people. We're talking about cutting Social Security. The Trump administration is considering that, or not considering it, but seems to be. And they are, we're talking about something that's like a fraction of the entire Defense Department budget, and yet that seems to be on the table. Those are the types of benefits that they want to cut. It's, yeah, meanwhile, defense gets as much spending as they could possibly imagine. So,
Well, I mean, I agree, except I haven't been paid to call it defense. I call it the military, and they are upping it $150 billion, which Hegseth supports. And that's just the Pentagon budget, which is far from the whole military budget, which
right.
is way over $1 trillion. So it seems somehow like people need to find out about that, too. I mean, I tell people, look at Korea, look at Bolivia, look at Tunisia, look at Niger, look at places where people take the streets, shut down the government, nonviolent activism, stop the horrible destruction, and get better policies. And it works. And people say to me, why would we want to shut down the government? That's what they're doing themselves. That's what they're about. They all want to shut down the government. They'd thank you. And I have to say, no, they're moving all the money into the Pentagon. I mean, it almost shuts down activist movements for people to have this understanding of what's happening.
Yeah, it's a sleight of hand. They're like, look at these things that we're doing, and here, don't pay attention to all the ways in which we're enriching ourselves through, a lot of these, especially like the Doge people. Yeah, they're connected to military contracts and, using their position now, like as being basically part of the Trump administration, these like big tech folks, to strengthen their ability to get contracts. You know, there's a lot of money on the table for them. They're in total support of putting even more money on the table.
Indeed. I think you guys are doing a good job of talking in the media and spreading the word about the Revolving Door Project and all the data you're collecting. Are there Congress members who are interested? Is there anyone in any level of power who's taking actions that you think are appropriate?
I think that it's really the demonstrations that have seemed to be increasing in number, frequency, the public protests of the Trump administration are extremely important. I hope that the work that we're doing at Revolving Door Project to track facts of what the Trump administration is doing, who is in the Trump administration, is helping. You know, my ideally, I you know, we're doing this stuff to be able to support people who are trying to understand how the Trump administration is affecting their lives. And yeah, it's in support of mass protests, demonstrations, which I think are really necessary to push. You know, there's been some good decisions out of judiciary lately. I think it's easier for judges to make good decisions if they feel like they're speaking for a majority of Americans. So hopefully, you know, I think Americans protesting will push, you know, even more good judicial decisions to come to light. Like everyone has their part to play to make sure that we get out on the other side of this relatively
Maybe
unscathed.
one minute left, Andrea Beatty, with the Revolving Door Project. Can you remind people again how to get your weekly newsletter and keep in touch with what you're doing?
Yes, so we're at revolvingdoorproject.org, and we're also Revolving Door Project on Substack, which is our newsletter, and you can join our Corruption Calendar newsletter there, and we're on Blue Sky as well, so follow us there, and yeah.
Notice you said Blue Sky and not some other channel that will remain unnamed.
Yeah, we're downplaying that one.
Andrea Beatty has been our guest. She is the assistant director at the Revolving Door Project, therevolvingdoorproject.org. Andrea, thanks for what you're doing and for coming on Talk World Radio.
Yeah, thank you so much.
This is Talk World Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. Read or listen to today's Peace Almanac entry at peacealmanac.org. All past shows can be heard at talkworldradio.org. Talk World Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way.